legend and WWE Hall of Famer Mick Foley, and you are listening to My 1-2-3 Cents, the podcast.
Hey everyone, Kevin here with episode 54 of My 1-2-3 Cents, the podcast, and I am excited about this week's show. I'm excited about every show we do, but this one is particularly important to me because this is the one-year anniversary show. It was a year ago this week that I officially dropped the first episode of My 1-2-3 Cents, the podcast, and I am forever grateful to my friend Greg Mahochko, the co-creator of the Jittery Monkey Podcasting Network, for inviting me to come up with a podcast and join the fine network here on the JitteryMonkey.com website. And also, you can find Jittery Monkey on Twitter as well as on Facebook. And listen to all the great shows. Greg Mahochko hosts Nerds United and puts out some great conversations about comic books and movies related to comic books and all that genre. So I invite you to check out everybody on JitteryMonkey.com as well as on iTunes, Stitcher, and Pod Directory. And I wanted to make the one-year anniversary show something special and get a special guest. I've had some great guests. WWE Champion Sheamus has been on, Hall of Famer Mick Foley. We've talked to Double J Jeff Jarrett a couple of different times. The Ugandan Giant Kamala has been on the podcast, as well as some great independent stars. Oh, I forgot, beautiful Bobby Eaton from the Midnight Express and the WCW NWA days. Also have had some independent guests on, such as Gentleman Jervis Cottonbelly, and Dasher Hatfield, Nigel McGuinness. They've all been a part of the Jittery Monkey Podcasting Network as well. And I've had a chance to talk to some great local indie talent as well, like Poker Face, Heath Hatton, Daniel Eads, and Golden Boy Greg Anthony. So go back and check out some of the old episodes and listen to those. But today's guest is the beautiful and lovely former WWE diva, Terry Runnels, and I'll admit, I kind of fanboyed during the interview. There are a couple of points where you can kind of tell that I'm kind of sound like a jittery monkey, so to speak. So I was a huge fan of Terry Runnels back during her run as Marlena in the WWF. Of course, saw her as Miss Alexandra York. We talk about that in depth, as well as the Marlena character, how she came up with that, and actually went to Vince McMahon with the idea, never having met him. So it's an interesting conversation. I invite you to stick around and listen to that, as well as check out some of the events that Terry is going to be a part of. We have these listed also over at jitterymonkey.com as well as my123cents.com. But the big thing that she's got going on is she's going to be a part of WrestleCon again. And that's actually the first time I saw Terry, or met her, I guess, so to speak, was at WrestleCon in 2011 in Atlanta. And I share that story with her and we have a chuckle about it. But she's going to be a part of T-Mart Promotions WrestleCon on April 2nd. That's the Saturday before WrestleMania there in Dallas at the downtown Hyatt Regency Hotel. She'll have autographs available for $15 and photo ops for $20. So they'll work out deals as well for a combination package. So if you are at WrestleMania, as Chad and I are going to be, be sure to check out WrestleCon as well. And like I said, we'll have more information as the weeks get closer to WrestleMania and WrestleCon weekend. She's also going to be in New Jersey and in New York on December 12th. That's coming up here real soon. So if you are in Flushing, New York or Howell, New Jersey, she'll be a part of a couple of shows there that you can meet her and maybe swap a couple of stories with her as well. She is a great human being, a great person, and I thoroughly enjoyed spending some time talking to her. And we talked about an hour or so, so I'm going to quit rambling here in the pre-show and get to the interview here in just a minute. I want to wrap up a couple of other quick notes. Of course, WWE TLC coming up very soon. Sheamus defends against Roman Reigns in a TLC-style match. So I'm gonna reserve judgment. I know a lot of people have been very critical of the WWE product in recent weeks, and we're going to kind of wait and see how things go, and Chad and I, I'm sure, will meet again. I know Chad's going to actually be in town here soon. We're going to meet up and record our Cinti Awards, so that'll be coming up at the end of the year. But we'll talk more about TLC and other things going on in the WWE and the world of professional wrestling, of course, over at my123cents.com. And if you are a Chikara fan and don't want to hear what happened on their most recent show, go ahead and fast forward through this part and hit the interview with Terry Runnels on the other side. I'm going to spend a minute or so talking about this. At the most recent show, Princess Kimberly has defeated Hello Wicked to become the first grand champion, first female grand champion in Chikara Pro. So congratulations to Princess Kimberly, who we talked about her with Gentleman Jervis Cottonbelly on a show not too very long ago here on My 1-2-3 Cents. And I'm going to try to see if I can do some work here and get Kimberly on the show and talk more about her amazing win and becoming the first female grand champion in Chikara Pro. If you don't watch Chikara Pro, I would highly recommend it. It's chikarapro.com. They're also all over Facebook and Twitter and other forms of social media. So check them out. You will not be disappointed. Now, without any further ado, here's Miss Terry Runnels.
It's my personality to be jittery. It's part of my charm.
Wrestling fans,
are you ready?
It's time for My 1-2-3 Cents, the podcast on the Jittery Monkey Podcasting Network.
Give me the hell yeah!
Now, here's your host.
The man is also a very long, dear, personal friend of mine.
Does the guy have a name?
Yes, he has a name.
Kevin Huntsberger.
Woo!
Ladies and gentlemen, as promised, former WWE diva, the lovely Terry Runnels, is joining us on My 1-2-3 Cents, the podcast today. I am particularly excited about this one because, you know, back in the day, back in the mid-90s, I'd been watching wrestling by that point for about 10 years or so, and the WWE was introducing divas to the scene. There was Sunny, there was Sable, and there was Marlena, Goldust Ballet, and of those three lovely ladies, Marlena was always my favorite. Now, I'm not just saying that because you're on the show, but without any further ado, Terry Runnels, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Kevin. I appreciate that. I'm happy to know that I was your favorite. That's good to know.
Yeah, that is, you know, an interesting story to, I guess, kind of go along with this podcast is back in 2011, my buddy Chad and Travis, we were at WrestleMania, and it was WrestleCon weekend, the day before, or actually the day of WrestleMania. We had gone over, and we were dressed as the Heenan family. I was dressed like Bobby the Brain Heenan. And when we walked into the room, they had different wrestling legends and superstars and whatnot set up around the room. And when we walked in, you saw us come through the doors, and you looked at me, and you kind of, like, pointed at me and did that, come here, kind of look. And I was like, me? And you're like, yes, you. And so my buddies, we walked over there, and you wanted a photo op with us, which I thought was really, really cool.
And what year was this?
This was 2011. It was in Atlanta.
Oh, okay. There was like four or five of you, or no?
There were three of us. It was, right. I was Bobby Heenan. My buddy was, one of them was
Wait, did I see you guys crossing the street before you got in there, or no? Was in the room the first time I saw you?
I believe it was when we were in the room. It was Bobby Heenan. I was Bobby Heenan. My one friend was the Red Rooster, and the other one was the Brooklyn Brawler.
Gotcha. Okay, yes.
So I would imagine that you, because the room was packed, I would imagine you do these conventions and whatnot, and you meet a lot of interesting fans through the years.
Absolutely. And it sounds like I was quite enamored with you guys.
Yeah. Well, you know, we always go, my friend Chad and I go to WrestleMania every year, and we try to hit WrestleCon as well and do different characters and whatnot when we go. When I posted...
Do you know what the coming year is going to be? Do you know? Have you picked it out yet?
We have not. We are still... we're kind of debating who to do, with it being the 25-year anniversary of WrestleMania 7. You know, I was kind of wanting to keep a theme with that. So, but I did an interview last week with the creator of WrestleRuse. I don't know if you've heard of this or not, but it's basically wrestling-themed underwear. And he makes Ric Flair and Macho Man Randy Savage, the Mega Powers, Dusty Rhodes, all these different that look like the wrestling tights that the superstars wore back in the day. So he's pushing to go somewhere along that route. I don't know that I'm quite that ready to be that out there with our costumes.
That's
yet.
Awesome.
So
I'm hoping that you will take the plunge and do that. That's amazing.
So
I love it.
That's still a few months out. Do you still, I know you do some of the conventions and go around and do a lot of the traveling still. Do you make plans that far in advance? Will you be at WrestleCon weekend in Dallas this year?
I will actually be there. I'm doing an appearance, and I am so ashamed to tell you that I cannot remember exactly who nor where it will be. But what we'll do is, if you don't mind, after we finish this, I'll make sure that you get the pertinent info, and if you can get it out there, I would appreciate that. And I'm sure the person that booked me will appreciate the fact that I can get that info out there.
Yeah, and I didn't mean to put you on the spot with that, but we will absolutely spread the word and share that, because we actually through the years have met a lot of fans, international fans as well, Australia, England, Scotland, and then throughout the States as well. And it's almost kind of a reunion of sorts when we all hit WrestleMania, wherever it's going to be that year. So yeah, we will definitely get the word out about appearances and talk that up for sure.
Super, thank you.
So when I posted that I'd be doing the interview with you on our social media sites, one of the most frequently asked questions was back in your days in WCW. I guess before we even get to that point, were you a wrestling fan growing up? And if so, who did you kind of look up to and who did you like as a fan?
Well, actually, I was not a fan at all. The way that I knew anything about it, or I guess I should say that, like, the little smidgen that I knew was wanting to be near my father, and so because he was not the warmest of human beings,
mm-hmm.
and anything I could do that he was doing that would allow me to be close to him, that's what I tried to do. So if he was watching football, I would sit down and watch football with him, which is why I love football. But I remember on occasions, you know, him passing through and stopping for a little bit on wrestling, but he was not a huge wrestling fan at all. So the only faces or names that I remembered from my childhood were Jerry and Jack Briscoe, Wahoo McDaniel and Dusty. I remember those names. And, you know, of the irony that I would end up, you know, being a part of that world in later years. So it was not anything that was planned, that's for sure.
So then, obviously, once you did become a part of that, you became a fan of it, I'm guessing?
Well, yeah, I mean, literally, you know, it gets in your blood and in your bones, and it becomes part of you. And speaking of part of you, my child, I mean, my God, she's got it in her blood, and every twist and turn, you know, her mom, her dad, her grandfather, her Uncle Cody, her uncle, there are a few uncles by marriage, you know, Tugboat was married to one of Dusty's wife's sisters, and as was, or as is still, Jerry Skonowich of Knobs and Fags, mm-hmm. the Nasty Boys. So, you know, it just is in every facet of her life.
Is that a challenge, or was it a challenge as you were raising your daughter, not just being on the road, but having that, you know, wrestling lifestyle, if you will, that, you know, you do spend a lot of time away and on the road, and you're meeting hundreds and thousands of other people day in and day out. Did that present challenges along the way?
Yeah, well, you know, I don't know how familiar you are with my career and my life, but I made sure that she was with me on the road. So until it was, you know, until she was school age, she was with me.
Mm-hmm.
And it was one of those situations where I'm the kind of mom that I was not going to let anything I was not going to let having a child change my lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
I just believe that you continue to do the things that you love, and you don't, or at least that's what I did. I did not want to, say, oh, we can't go and do that because we're parents now. I just believe you just take your kid along with you, and you go and you have fun. But Dakota grew up on the road, and so much so that, she's 3 years old, and we would get home and she would say things to me like, Mom, can I get room service? And, I'm like, child, you're looking at room service.
Yeah.
This is room service. And, she just, at 2.5, walking in an airport, she would say to me, Mommy, which concourse are we on? And, she just was a kid from the road, and she grew up around all these adults. And so she was the kind of child that she was born very much an old soul.
Mm-hmm.
She was a very loquacious little thing. So she was not even two, and I would have to tell her, Dakota, you may not talk until we get, on board the airplane, because they would want to charge me for her ticket because she was just talking in long sentences at an early age.
Oh, yeah.
So, but I don't know if it was because I just was committed to making it normal for her or what, but it's what was normal to us, and it didn't seem to, present a big problem, and we just made it part of life. So,
well, obviously, with you being involved in it still, and Dustin and Cody still on the main WWE roster, is she a fan of wrestling? Does she watch it as well?
Absolutely, she's a fan of it, but of course, more so of her dad and uncle. It still isn't something that she watches, but we really don't get excited unless dad's doing something or Uncle Cody's doing something that's piquing our interest. Mm-hmm. If you know what I mean.
Sure.
It's not something that we invest a huge amount of time in on a weekly basis.
I understand that. And so before I kind of got onto that subject, one of the big questions that a lot of fans were asking dates back to when you were Miss Alexander York and the head of the York Foundation and WCW back then. And the character, obviously much different than the Marlena character, but you carried around a laptop, a computer back then, obviously before there were tablets and iPads and iPhones and whatnot. People want to know, what was on that computer, and do you still have it today?
I do still have that computer today, and I probably, I occasionally will sell memorabilia to fans that I think are really staunch and awesome fans, but it's funny, that computer will probably always stay with me. It's got a crack in it from where I smacked Brian Pillman on top of the head. And the funny thing is, that was a gentleman named Dennis Brent, who did the magazine for WCW.
Mm-hmm.
He's the one that, it was his laptop that I used in the very beginning. And, oh my gosh, it's so funny because I would, I was a heel, and of course people would say such horrible things, from the audience. So I would take and type my responses to them. Like if I were going to yell something back at them, I would type what I wanted to yell back.
Nice.
So it was not very nice things that I got backstage and had on that computer.
So that character, obviously, much different in presentation and look when you went to WWE, and as Marlena, a much, and I mean this with all due respect, a much sexier character, and you were out there a lot more, I guess, as Alexander York, of course, a more conservative, buttoned up, still beautiful character. But
I got what you're saying.
Okay. So Was there a big challenge with that? Because, I mean, you seem to be, I guess my question is who is more Terry Reynolds?
Mark, gritty, Kevin. Come on, just spit it out.
Is Terry more like Marlena or more like Alexander York?
Terry is more like, I don't know, if you stood the two of them together, I guess. I would like to think of myself as a smart, astute, intelligent female. And I would also like to think of myself as someone that if I am attracted to someone else, if I'm in a relationship, I'm a very sexual being. But, you know, it's interesting with the Alexander York character. She was going to evolve into a sexy beast,
mm-hmm.
but that got nipped in the bud too quickly by me being a bit of a smart mouth and deciding that I was pissed off at something Dusty said to me, so I just literally walked out and said goodbye. So that was a quick exit that no one was expecting, and so we'll never know. We'll never know just how sexy Alexandra York could have been.
Yes.
But she was going to be, you know, the whole purpose in having me so buttoned up and so, you know, the skirt so long and the, you know, buttoned up to the top and the, mm-hmm. and the bun, you know, at some point there was going to be, you know, the skirts were going to be, her sexuality was going to come into play.
I see. Mine.
So.
Well, so then, who made the decision to join Dustin as Goldust, which was at that time and is still one of my favorite gimmicks as far as that character, and completely 180 from his own wrestling persona in WCW. But you came shortly after he debuted, and your debut, of course, happening at the 1996 Royal Rumble. Whose decision or whose idea was that for you to join him as Marlena and kind of go in there as a couple?
That was totally mine. So Dustin's on the road for a few months and he's doing this character, and, you know, I was at home and I was in our basement. We had our gym and a tanning bed and what have you. And I was laying in the tanning bed. My child's, you know, a little over a year and a half old. And so I start thinking, like, what is it that WWF at the time, doesn't have? What don't they have right now in terms of women? And so I'm thinking through the characters, and there was basically just Sherry Martel at the time, mm-hmm. And Sunny. And, you know, I'm like, okay, there's this, you know, kind of brash, loud, almost masculine in some ways character that Sherry portrayed. And then there's Sunny, who's like the little bippity-boppity cheerleader, you know, kind of a brainless sex pot cheerleader. And I thought, you know, they don't have glamour. And like, and so then I start thinking about Dustin's character and how they're doing the whole old Hollywood, you know, he's this old Hollywood actor. And so I just start, my brain is kind of turning. I had just been at my sister's home and she collected Barbie dolls, and the very nice expensive ones. And so mm-hmm. she had this new Bob Mackie Barbie doll called Sun Goddess. And so I looked at this Barbie doll and I'm laying in the tanning bed and I'm thinking about all this stuff and I'm going, oh my gosh, like, that's what Vince needs, is like old Hollywood. So like the way they used to dress and just like glamour. And so I came up with this whole character in my brain and, you know, laying in the tanning bed, literally. And so I called Dustin and I told him my idea, and he said, I love it, that's great. And I said, okay, well, let me know what they say. And he said, I'm not going to call Vince, you call Vince. I'm like, dude, you work for the guy. I don't. You call him. And, you know, at that time, Dustin was not the man he is today in terms of being able to Basically, he was kind of scared of Vince at the time.
Mm-hmm, sure.
And I guess he thought that I never had a problem talking, so he thought it would be easier for me to call Vince. But I did. I called and...
Now, had you ever met him before?
Vince?
Yeah.
At the time, no.
Okay.
Nope, never met him. I had gotten a gorgeous Tiffany silver baby rattle for Dakota's birth that had the WWF logo engraved into the baby rattle. It was beautiful.
Oh,
still
wow.
is. I mean, it's, you know, of course, is part of her her collection.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so I called and I got a phone call. I got a phone call back, and it was not from Vince. It was from Pat Patterson. Do you know who Pat is?
Oh, sure, yes.
Yeah, so Pat calls me back, and he, you know, I give him my idea, and he gives me kind of the obligatory, polite brush off and says, you know, oh, thanks for the idea, but at this time we're not interested in, you know, doing that. I said, okay, well, and literally I hung up the phone and didn't think another thing about it. Just thought, you know, I was happy being mom, and so literally I thought nothing else of it. So then I was at my grandparents' home. It was at Christmas time, and Dustin was on the road, and I was sitting there in my grandparents' living room, and he called me, and he said pack your bags. And I said, what? And he said, pack your bags, they want to do your idea. So I picked out, you know, the name that I thought suited my character best. I either wanted Oscar to be her name or Marlena.
Mm-hmm.
And then I told Vince I wanted either a cigar or a glass of wine, you know, to take to the ring with me each time. And we decided that the cigar would be better. And, yeah, so everything about that character, I came up with nothing to do with Alexandra except the name Alexandra York. I came up with that. The Marlena character, I came up with absolutely everything from start to finish.
So now, since you had suggested the cigar, that was another popular question. Do you are a cigar aficionado, so to speak, are you not?
Yeah, and I mean, I smoked them back then. It was not very chic for a lady to smoke cigars. And so I used to like run a bubble bath, have a glass of wine, and smoke a cigar. And I thought, well, that'll be great to kind of tie that in, you know, with this whole character. I think it will be awesome because the whole thing was to kind of have me be a little bit of an androgynous being in that, you know, some of my mannerisms were very masculine, and that, you know, was well suited for Dustin, who, of course, you know how his character was.
Sure.
And so, yeah, it was totally because I love cigars, and that was my thing. Either Marlena would come to the ring with, you know, in my mind, and I tell young up-and-coming guys and girls this all the time, if you don't know exactly who that character is, if you cannot tell me what your character eats for breakfast, what your character, you know, what magazines your character looks at, what, like, literally tell me each and everything that your character does, then nobody else is going to be able to sink their teeth into that character. If you don't know who it is, then they won't know who it is. And so, you know, before I ever made that first phone call, I knew exactly who Marlena was.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, she smoked cigars. and so it was very enjoyable for me to be able to do something that I loved all the time and have to do it.
So tell me a little bit about, you know, being a married couple and being on national television, you know, not just with WWF at the time, but, you know, you two had been on Late Night with Conan O'Brien. You were in the media as well. And now, I would imagine that your close friends and family members get it, that, you know, wrestling is an art form. It's a story. It's you're putting on a show, obviously, with a lot of talent and ability to do that. But how did people accept you as Marlena, and also with Dustin being at, you know, because that character was so out there and so, at least from the outside looking in, so far a stretch from the Dustin Rhodes that we knew as the natural in WCW.
Right. Well, I have a story that goes kind of like this. My child, I put her in a private school, and when I would fly home on Wednesday and go to pick my child up from school, because when I was home, I had my nannies kind of switch gears and become personal assistant, and I wanted to do everything for Dakota, so of course, picking her up from school, taking her to school, I wanted to do that. And, you know, I will never forget one of the moms saying to me, so we saw you night before last, and it was like when I had done one of the bikini paddle on the pole matches or something.
Uh-huh.
You know, she gave me this look of like, you know, where she didn't quite approve. And so I think initially people assumed, you know, that I was somewhat like that character, more like that character than I actually was. But then it didn't take them long for me to, you know, whip up a couple of my famous batches of cupcakes and delectable treats for them to go, okay, she's got a Martha Stewart side to her, she's a very devoted mom, okay, we get it. All that is, you know, shenanigans that's on TV, and this is a very different person that we deal with, you know, on a daily basis here at home. So
yeah, and I would,
most people got it.
Yeah, that's good to hear that, because sometimes I think people, you know, judge the book by the cover and don't get to know the person behind the character, especially, like you said, in your child's setting when Dakota was in school.
Absolutely. And to that end, let me say this, too. You know, it's very interesting. I have a gentleman by the name of Martin Duggan that runs my fan page for me on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he's also a personal assistant of mine. And it's very interesting. I allow him to keep content fresh on the website, on Facebook, on my fan page.
Mm-hmm.
And I never tell him, you know, what to do. You know, it's, I leave that up to him. And then I try to then, you know, go into my fan page and at least look and read and like, you know, some of the things that people are saying. Well, not too long ago, and I used to try to actually answer the private messages. And so I noticed all of a sudden, I hadn't even looked at the actual page. I had just gone, you know, to check the messages to see what I needed to answer. And I was getting some very, really disrespectful, bad-mannered, off-putting messages. And I'm thinking, like, geez, is it full moon or what mm-hmm. in the world is going on? Well, then, you know, 30 minutes later, I'm actually on the page seeing what, you know, everyone else sees. And Martin had posted a picture of me that I had very, how's the best way to say it? Artistically, acrobatically covered the private parts, but was laying in like a little bit of like a hot tub sort of uh-huh. thing in the Dominican Republic, and I have nothing on, but yet I'm covered.
Uh-huh.
But it's like, you know, even after years of me getting out who I actually am as a person, I had all these guys assuming that I had put the picture up, and I guess thinking that I wanted to somehow hear off-color, tacky, really simplistic, stupid things. And so I had to say to him, you know, like, Martin, do me a fave, and, you know, just don't put stuff like that up, because if they don't get it by now, that's not me,
yeah.
And that's not what I'm trying to solicit, you know, just don't do it. And as a result of that, I also stopped answering the private messages because of the content of them, but also because, you know, the sad thing is there are thousands of messages, right?
Mm-hmm.
And for me to go in and make a stab at trying to answer the majority of them, what would happen is someone would say, you know, say something to me. I would then either give a quick retort like, thanks so much, be well, or God bless, Terry, and a smiley face, or TR and a smiley face.
Mm-hmm.
And from that one interaction with me and that message scenario, they would then just engulf me with, how's your day? What'd you do today? How are you feeling? I mean, within a matter of minutes, they would throw that many questions at me.
Yeah.
And I would try to explain that if I answered any more of their questions, that then the other people that had, you know, asked something of me and I was trying to answer them, I couldn't do it. It was like times, you know, 5,000.
Yeah, it'd become a full-time job.
Right. And so the thing that hit me was several of them got pissed off and said, who do you think you are, you know, saying that you don't have time to, you know, all I asked was a question or a couple of questions. And so I realized, you know, Jesus, they're never going to be happy. And me investing all that time trying to answer them was just ending up giving me just a headache. So I, with the rudeness of some people and with that kind of demanding rudeness, I stopped doing the personal messages, private messages altogether. So anyway, that's, if anyone wants to know why I don't do that anymore, that's why.
Now, do you, and I, you know, I get it. I am a television news anchor, a local television anchor. And, you know, we get messages.
What market?
We're in Southern Illinois, Cape Girardeau, you know, Southeast Missouri, Cape Girardeau, and Western Kentucky. But, I mean, obviously, you know, we're a market in, you know, the mid-80s, and we get inundated with messages and people like that. I can't imagine being a global person with celebrity with that kind of recognizability, and people do, you know, they say things on social media that they wouldn't say to your face. And that was kind of be my next transition, was when you go to these fan events, I mean, are people cordial and do they treat you with respect? Because I do think obviously there's a big difference between the way male fans would approach and treat a male wrestler versus a female wrestler or diva.
Yeah, most, I would say 99.9% of the fans are great. You know, it's very funny when face to face they don't have near the cojones that they do when they're anonymous behind a, you know, a computer keyboard. But, you know, most of them are really awesome. It still does, though, blow my mind, and I'm not by any stretch of the imagination saying that I am some great beauty, but I am saying it blows my mind when some of the guys that, you know, I'll give you a for instance.
Mm-hmm.
I got a guy that still constantly sends me messages, and each time he sends me a message, he's telling me about his life, and his he's 30 something. He lives in, no lie, in his mom's basement, and he makes mention of having gotten in trouble for domestic abuse and like, and I think unless he is just lacking in the mental department mm-hmm. and truly doesn't get it, like he thinks that his come on lines are, I guess, going to be successful, and it just blows my mind that, you know, the guys can think that way. It's very interesting. I have not been on a date in 2 years by design. I have not even so much as carried on a phone dalliance with anyone. And the ones that I would consider possibly in the future going out with, it's interesting. They don't have the guts, or they'll say after the fact, like, I was too nervous to ask you out. But the ones that don't stand a chance, I don't get it. Like, how is that, Kevin? How is that?
They're
the ones that ask.
That's the chemistry of a guy. I mean, that's a typical, that to me, you know, and that's what I've experienced with my female coworkers is, you know, the guys who are, you know, we call them the creepers, who just send inappropriate messages and pictures and say things that they think, you know, that this person is going to drop everything they're doing and accept a date with this person. And it's like, you know, what planet are you
what
from?
What planet are yeah. you? Exactly.
So
bless them.
So
I guess ignorance is bliss, right?
Exactly.
If they think that well of themselves, good on them.
When you obviously then transitioned from the Marlena character as Dustin transformed with Gold Dust and whatnot, and you became, you know, you took your name. You were Terry Runnels. You did some backstage interviewing. You did some valet work. And you were even the hardcore champion for, I think, about 2 minutes. I just watched that match the other day. Did you have a desire? I know that you and the Cat had some matches, and you did some tag with Mae Young and Moolah as well. Did you have a desire to ever be a full-time wrestler, or did you enjoy your work as a valet and backstage interviewer more?
No, exactly what you just said, it was the opposite. Like, I literally, when Vince would want me to wrestle, I would beg him, please, Vince, please don't make me wrestle. I don't want to wrestle, please. And his answer would always be the same. Oh, you're going to be great. It's going to be great. You're going to be great. I'm like, Vince, but no, because people don't excel at things that they don't really love. I love this business, but I don't want to be a wrestler. You know, and I love taking bumps. Like, I loved it when I got to the arena and found out, you know, that I was going to, you know, be goozled by Kane and or Undertaker and Thrawn, and you know, I loved that kind of stuff. But I did not want to wrestle,
mm-hmm.
and so yeah, no. As much as I fought it, you know, he succeeded in having me do it every once in a while, which you know was never my thing. So,
and you know, we talked about that transition into the Terry Runnels character, and you worked with obviously more than just Dustin in WWF, Val Venus, Meat, D'Lo Brown, some of those characters and whatnot. What was your favorite, you know, I look at your career kind of in three character stages, obviously, Terry, Marlena, and Alexandra York. What was your favorite time period when you were involved with the on-screen stuff?
I think that I loved working with Perry. He was so great. And, you know, it's interesting, and this has been in the last couple of years that he told me this. He said to me, that actually, let me go backward. I'll tell you this. One day we were at the arena, and he asked me if I would go talk to him. So he, you know, I followed him into the arena. And normally, you know, you would sit there in the empty arena if you wanted to make a phone call back home and wanted it to be quiet or private or that sort of thing. And so, I'm, you know, have no idea what he's going to talk to me about, but he literally, and much to my amazement, he said that he wanted to date me and go out with me. And I'm like, Perry, I don't see you that way. Like, you're like my buddy, my brother, my... Well, that really upset him. And I guess it was about 2 weeks. He did not say one word to me. I mean, he would say enough just to get through the match, and that was it. And so, then finally, whatever snapped him out of it, and he's like, okay, I get it, and, you know, I respect that, and he went right back to being the protective, you know, big brother of mine that I loved him being. But years later, you know, just a year or so ago, he said to me, he said, Terry, you were the first time I ever realized that I could be friends, truly friends, with a female. And he said, literally, I grew up in, you know, not that great of a household. And, you know, women were objects. And, you know, I went through them like, you know, the newspaper. And I just saw them as being one thing. And he said, you know, you were the first person, the first female that I ever realized I can be, you know, love and be a friend to someone, a female, and not have sex with her. So I was happy that he told me that. Mm-hmm. Made me feel really good.
Well, and that brings to a new transition with in terms of friendships, because obviously you're on the road with these men and women, you know, 300 days a year or whatever the travel schedule was like back then.
Okay.
Was it difficult with so many, you know, there are a certain number of spots and there are so many people vying for those spots, whether it's the women or the men. How was the relationship like with the ladies backstage? And were you guys, you know, we've seen the diva shoots and the bikini beach, you know, the pillow fights and the battle royals and the lingerie matches and whatnot.
Right.
Did you ladies all get along? I mean, I know, you know, in any work environment, you're not going to get along with everyone you work with, but was it as competitive as some may think it would be backstage that, you know, you are really vying for a spot and in essence, vying for a paycheck?
You know, I think it's always going to be competitive. But for me, I got along with everybody. I ended up being like the mom for between Sunny and Sable. When Sable came in, you know, for a while it was just Sunny and I. And then Sable comes in, and the two of them did not get along well at all.
Mm-hmm.
So one would speak to me, and then the other would speak to me, but they would not speak to each other. So that was interesting. But yeah, I didn't have any issues with any of the females. It's funny, something just recently happened. You know, Karen Jarrett, who's now Karen Jarrett, just, you know, talking about the differences in men and women and being on the road and that sort of thing. I'm going to chase a rabbit. I'm going to come back around to the point I'm going to make about Karen. But back after Dustin and I divorced, my traveling partner was Boss Man, Ray Traylor.
Okay.
And he and I started in the business at the exact same time. And, you know, before Dustin had ever come in the business. And so when we divorced, Ray and I, you know, he became my traveling partner. And most wives would have had a conniption fit if their husband would have, you know, wanted to ride with some newly divorced little blonde, you know, chica.
Sure.
And Angie Traylor, God bless her, she understood mine and Ray's relationship, and she understood that, you know, he was like my brother, my father, my best friend. He was like he was more of a girlfriend to me than my girlfriends were, because we drove up and down the roads and listened to each other, you know, back and forth. And Angie would actually say to me, Terry, I feel more safe and I feel better about him being on the road when you're on the road with him than when you're not, because I would only do TVs and pay-per-views. I refused, because of my child, I just refused to be on the road all the time.
Sure.
So I would only do TVs and pay-per-views. And so when I would fly in, Ray would then transition from whomever he was riding with, and he would, you know, come and ride with me. Well, so again, like, for Angie to understand that mine and Ray's relationship was very platonic, but very, very important. I mean, he called me sissy. I was, like, literally, he was my everything on the road. He was my everything. He had everything to do for me without the sex. The sex was the only thing that Ray and I guess, were lacking in terms of our friendship. And in fact, when Angie asked me to speak at Ray's funeral, I was so honored, but that was the hardest damn thing I ever had to do. Anyway, so going back around to the story of what I was going to tell you. So I remember when Karen Angle first came in, you know, with Kurt, and I remember saying to her, oh my gosh, you're so gorgeous. You know, I just loved every time she would be around, and, you know, I would always tell her how beautiful I thought she was and stunning. And so Kurt and I developed a friendship. It was not at all as close as Ray and I were. But, you know, I think he realized, okay, she doesn't want me for anything other than friendship. So he, you know, he would share some things with me and talk with me. Well, when you're on the road with these guys, they are your brothers, mm-hmm. and your sisters, and you care what happens to them. And when somebody gets injured, you want to check and find out about them and ask them. So I remember one year, I don't remember which pay-per-view this was. It was WrestleMania, but she actually came up to me at the after party at WrestleMania and said, why are you calling my husband? And I'm like, excuse me? Why are you calling my husband? I said, because he just had surgery and that's what we do. And, like, she thought something had happened that so had not happened. And so for years, there was this nastiness that she would exude toward me. And just this past weekend in Winston-Salem, was the first time I'd seen her in quite a few years. And I went over to the table where she and Jeff were sitting eating food at the bar. And, you know, I spoke. And she got up and hugged my neck and acted as if, you know, nothing had ever happened. But, you know, it's stuff like that that really bothers me because, you know, I don't know, maybe people get things confused and assume certain things, but anyway, I just like it when there's respect and a friendship, and it's like when you have to go to work with these people day in and day out, the last thing you want to do is to have things not be respectful and copacetic, and, you know, it's like having a neighbor situation where the neighbors have their music on too loud, and you don't want to go and bam on their door and like a jackass say, you know, turn down your music when you first meet the people.
Sure.
So it's like, you know, I really liked things being peaceful and happy and respectful, and God, I don't even know. I just answered like 20 questions. I apologize.
No, that's
on a tangent.
You know, and that's, I mean, I think the world needs more of that these days, but also, I mean, I would imagine that that kind of hostility would translate to the on-air product as well and impact everybody involved. So you obviously want to get along with these people. You're on social media, as you mentioned earlier, Facebook, Twitter, at The Terry Reynolds, and you have a website, theterryreynolds.com.
Which is going to be overhauled very soon.
Okay.
I hate it.
For the
time being, go ahead.
Definitely check that out. Do you have any, where do you see, you know, the future? I know you had mentioned you'll be at WrestleCon again in 2016, but do you have any desire to go back and be a part of a regular wrestling program, whether it's WWE, TNA, ROH, any?
You know, I would consider doing something like Coach and I did on Access.
Mm-hmm.
I really enjoyed Access a lot. It was a fun time for me, and it was a way for me to be a part of the product that I liked, that I could then go, you know, and fly home the next day and not feel like I had just exposed my ass to, you know, the entire world. You know, that was back in the Attitude Era when I actually had to wrestle in a thong. Thank you very much. But I would consider doing something like that, hosting a show. But the to go back and do that kind of thing, no. However, I am going to, just, it's my own little personal thing, I'm going to do a photo shoot in the year 2016, and I probably will do it in the spring. I postponed it, it was going to be this October, but I postponed it until next year, and it will be kind of like a last hurrah for me from a visual photo shoot standpoint. I want it to be very artistic and elegant, and I want it to be very sexual, but via an artistic vehicle, if that makes sense.
It absolutely does. And
no gratuitous bikini, you know, look, you know, my eyes looking into the camera with a seductive look and that sort of thing. None of that. I want it to be very movement oriented and you know, body related but artistically. So that will be coming.
Well, that I look forward to that, and hopefully Martin will keep us updated on all the happenings, and once you have dates and times and locations for WrestleCon and any other upcoming events, we will gladly add them to our website, my123cents.com. Terry, as we kind of wrap things up, is there anything else you want to get out there, let fans know before we say goodbye today?
Yeah, I mean, there are several things I want to tell you,
sure.
And I hope I'm not going over your time.
Not at all, not at all.
By telling you this, but, you know, my biggest joy in being a part of wrestling was always when I could help someone change their life, be there if they had a terminal illness, God forbid, and really make a difference, bring joy, help them in some way. And I have, you know, I've been out of the business now for quite a while, and I've done quite a few things with different charities, and I love doing that, and that's great. But I've found something that has made me really, really happy. And I want to tell you kind of how it came into my life. My sister she's not impressed by wrestling. She's not impressed by a lot of things. She's impressed by people with good character, people that are smart and wise and that do good things in the world. And she also has suffered for 15 years with horrible, debilitating migraines and fibromyalgia. And God bless her. She has tried anything that the doctors would suggest, whether it be a surgical procedure that she had to put, you know, be put under general anesthesia for, whether it be, you know, the latest drug that was out there, whether it be, you know, from chiropractic to acupuncture to supplements to any and everything. She would never say no if there was an offer of help and hope. And so she heard from her sister-in-law, they both married brothers, that, you know, hey, you might want to try this. I hear it's helping some people with migraines and fibromyalgia, and it also helps you lose weight. So my sister, wanting to be polite and kind, decided, okay, I'll buy this just because, you know, I want things to be nice when we see each other at family functions. And who knows, maybe it will help me lose a pound or two, but it certainly is not going to help my migraines and my fibro. Well, fast forward, and she comes to several of us family members and says, I want you to take this product. Don't ask me what it is. Just take it. And in a month, I want you to tell me what you feel, what you notice. And so, fast forward again, and I come back with my results and what it's done for me, and I just said, you know, it's given me clarity and focus in the mornings. I'm just bright and clear. I've got tons of energy, but I'm not jittery energy, and you know, it's I know that it's helping me lose a few pounds, and you know, what is it? What is this thing? Well, she told me, and lo and behold, it was a direct marketing company. And she and I have both run from, you can imagine how many times I've been approached.
Oh, I'm sure.
With people wanting me to, you know, they're like, you'll be great. Well, yeah, it would be great if I believed in or liked or whatever. But I just hate the whole premise of ever going to someone and making them feel uncomfortable because I'm trying to sell them something.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought, okay, well, I'll buy this for myself, but I'm not, you know, there's no way I'm going to sell it. And so she said to me, she said, Tara, I've done a lot of research. My sister's a researcher-aholic. And she said, you know, I have found so many things to be different about this company. From the founders who, you know, they've made their millions, they don't need the money, it's all about doing things the right way. And bottom line, my sister hasn't had a migraine in over 7 months. She's off all of her fibro medication. The only thing my sister still takes is a thyroid medication, and that's been cut in half. And it blows my mind the way people are being helped with this product. So what I want to say is, number one, the beauty is I don't have to sell the product, because when people try it and they see how it changes their life, you know, it sells itself. But here's what I do want to help people with, and I love it when I can help them lose weight. That's great and all, for them to fit in a size 6, size 4 jean, wonderful. But what really makes me happy is when I have these people that are, you know, they have diabetes and their numbers are coming down, they don't have to be on shots anymore, or the exact same story about, like, my sister. When I can change these people's lives and their quality of life, I cannot tell you what that does for me. So this is what I will do for the long future. And I'm really thrilled. If anybody is experiencing, whether it's high blood pressure, diabetes, want to lose weight, whatever, please, please send me a message. I've got a Facebook page that I keep strictly for this, and that's True Terry, T-R-U, Terry, T-E-R-R-I. And if you're serious about it, like, it's not a page to connect with me on wrestling. Don't ask me wrestling questions. I'll ignore you. But if you truly need help with migraines, all the things I've just mentioned, please reach out. I would love to help you. And, you know, the main thing I like people to know is this product works on your blood chemistry. It's not a thermogenic. It doesn't make you jittery. It doesn't make your, you know, heart go crazy. It works on your blood chemistry, and your red blood cells have a 4-month life cycle. So I always tell people, if you give me that 4 months, give me those 4 months and let that red blood cell life cycle out and a healthy red blood cell life cycle in, I will blow your mind at the things that can change on your body and will change with your body and your health and your life. It literally changes people's lives. So with that being said, I feel like I was just standing on the soapbox. I'm very passionate about it, though. I believe so wholeheartedly in it. And, you know, the more you know about the people and the company, the more you realize, okay, this is not your mother's direct marketing company. It's just not.
Sure. And again, it's True Terry. That's TRU Terry, TERRI. And right now on Facebook, it's a picture. The profile picture is a heart, a green heart splashing into water. So if people.
Yep. And if you ever hear me talk about my blue green secret or my secret weapon, that's it. And don't ask me anymore now. Ask me through that venue and that vehicle, and I will take good care of you.
All righty. Terry Runnels. The lovely and beautiful WWE diva from, you know, 20 years ago. Again, my favorite of all time. And I really do truly mean that. And I do appreciate you being on the show today.
Thank you so much. And I do want to say one last thing.
Sure.
Quick shout out to my daughter, Dakota, who is killing it at college, doing such a great job. And shout out to Martin, who does so much, and he's such a blessing and such a joy. And if you ever need me, you know, or if you ever need anything, go through him. He will make sure I get the message. And that's Martin Duggan, and thank you to him a million times over. And just thank you to my fans. I just really appreciate you guys being so awesome throughout the years. And thank you, Kevin.
Yeah, absolutely. I appreciate your time.
Have a great holiday.
You too.
This is a production of the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network. For more jittery shenanigans, go to jitterymonkey.com.